Thank you so much for that. It's beautiful music to begin our service with. If you would join me and stand, and we will join together in the call to worship. God is our light and our salvation. Let us worship the one who has claimed us.
Let us celebrate the love that knows our name.
Blessings this morning. I hope everyone is feeling well. I have a small change in the bulletin. It's my fault. Turn to the last page, the second page, where it says doxology. It says 74. It should be 174. Okay? And you're singing it with me. All right, I'm ready. Go ahead and join me this morning. Here we go.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise ye, alleluia. Oh, brother sun with golden beam.
One more time, just us. Ready? Same verse.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us, sing. Oh, praise ye, alleluia. Oh, brother sun with golden beam. Oh, sister moon with silver.
Gift of love. Thank you. I'm getting cues. Open now your hymnal to hymn 408, The Gift of Love.
Amazing grace, when rain is high.
You may be seated.
The confusion was mine. I forgot to have us do the inventory before we did the cult worship. So that's why things seemed a little confused there. Please join me now in the opening prayer. Eternal God, at the baptism of Jesus, you revealed him to be your Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep all who are born of water and Spirit faithful to their calling as your people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now I invite the children to come up and join me. Good morning. So, I have a question, and this is not an easy question, so I don't necessarily expect you to have an answer, but I'm going to put it out there. How do you know that God's Spirit is with you? When do you feel the Spirit with you? What do you think? When you feel down, okay, and that's when the Spirit's with you. What other times might you experience the Spirit with you? Told you it was a hard question, right? I'm not sure even some of the adults would know how to answer it, right? So I am going to give you what I found this morning is maybe a way for us to know when the Spirit is helping us or with us. So there is a passage in Scripture from Galatians, and it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." So if we're someplace and we are experiencing love being given to us, that can be a sign of the Spirit. If we are experiencing joy in ourselves, even in the midst of something that might be upsetting, that can be the Spirit with us. And peace, sometimes when we've had a bad day, but we we lift it up to God and say, I need you, and we feel a peace inside, even when things around us aren't peaceful, that can be a sign of the Spirit with us. And so is patience and then kindness. So even when we give kindness to somebody else, that can be a sign that the Spirit is moving in us to make us want to do something kind for somebody else. So those are the signs of this that we can look for in our day to know that the Spirit is with us. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Will you look for those things around you and maybe even give those things to others? Okay. We are also going to collect the coins for missions today, which is a sign of the Spirit in itself, because we're doing something of kindness, gathering money to give to somebody else. So that's a sign of the Spirit as well. I'm going to pass these out, and then let's say a prayer, and then we'll do the money, and then you can come up and get your snack. Sound good? All right. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that helps us in our walk, with daily walk, to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and to give the fruit of the Spirit to others. Keep walking with us, keep helping us, and help us to remember that we are loved fully by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seated as we sing, "Wash, O God, our sons and daughters," hymn number 605, where we'll do all three verses.
Thank you. As we go for our Lord today, we can consider our baptisms as we understand our vows and why we come to the Lord and our need for Him. Let us pray. Amazing God, we depend upon Your grace. We are grateful how You extend that to us. Your love, it expands all things. It is all Your motivation. And You pour out upon us this love in order to draw us closer to You. Lord, when we come into this world, we come into this world in a way that we only see ourselves. We are dependent on others and we only see them as a way to get what we want. So Lord, we just ask that You would continue to work in us, that through Your Spirit You are able to root out all the selfishness that is in us. It is through our baptisms that we recognize that we are turning over to You. We recognize our sinfulness and our ways, and we turn to You, knowing that through You and Your Spirit we are able to become more and more like Your Son. So Lord, give us encouragement in each and every day. Turn to You. That is our beginning, to always turn to You and to allow Your Spirit to lead us in each and every day. And as Suzanne was sharing with the kids, that the fruit of Your Spirit would come out in us. And it would be what people experience when they meet us. Lord, we ask this day. As we remember our baptisms, we remember Jesus' baptism, Lord, we just ask for this power on us in a special way. That we truly are able to live it out. And not just think about it, but to truly experience Your transformation. And to show the world what it means to truly see everyone with grace and love, and to share that with the world. Let it begin with us as we reach out to those that are around us so our community can experience You in Your love. Let us now pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be Thy name.
Thy will be done on earth as it is
in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory
forever. Amen. Friends, we have been blessed by the love of God through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. With that, we are to respond. And that, in many different ways, talking about the fruit of the Spirit comes. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is generosity. And it is through that that we don't feel a burden when we give back. It's more about we're giving in to the love of Christ in order for it to be shared with the world. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join in the prayer of dedication. Faithful and calling God, continue to draw us into new life through waters of grace and acts of justice. Just as Jesus stepped into the river to stand with us and for us, we bring these gifts today to stand with others, to serve, to uplift, and to proclaim your kingdom. Use these offerings to fulfill your righteousness among us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
It really is annoying to get old and need glasses, right? Let us read from the gospel. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And from Acts 10, we read that one next, later. You may be seated. And now from Acts 10:34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, and on the third day, and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, throughout Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, we retold the stories of angels, shepherds, and the Magi, proclaiming that Mary of Nazareth's child is Emmanuel, God with us, Savior who would save his people from their sins, and King of kings and Lord of lords, whose reign would bring peace on earth. Prophets of old prophesied about a Messiah, the Christ, who would rule with the humility and the care of a shepherd, while others anticipated a powerful king who would restore Israel as a powerful nation, free from oppression, and restore peace and prosperity for his people. Centuries of conflicting expectations and hopes preceded the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. But it wasn't until after Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist, that Jesus publicly took ownership of who he is and lived to fulfill his Father's purposes. So on this baptism of the Lord Sunday, we are going to not only remember Jesus' baptism, but consider our life after baptism aligns with Jesus' life after baptism. After all, Jesus did call us all to follow him, just as he called his first disciples. In Peter's words from Acts, he shared what was clear to him as he walked with Jesus throughout Jesus' ministry, and then continued in his own ministry as the Lord's disciple. So I want to highlight what I see regarding what are the characteristics of a baptized life. First, let's see what takes place at Jesus' baptism. According to Matthew, Jesus made a decision to Galilee with the intent of finding John the Baptist in John's ministry context. Jesus wasn't on his way to just somewhere and happened upon John. He went for a purpose. Now, John wasn't expecting Jesus to come to him to baptize him. And we don't know the full story of what John and Jesus knew beyond that they were cousins and both their lives were inspired by the Holy Spirit's intervention. It would seem that Mary and Elizabeth shared with their sons what the many details might have been from their experiences. But also there were many details that God left out until, in God's timing, next steps were revealed. In the days leading up to Jesus leaving Galilee, I believe next steps must have been revealed to him. And Jesus was sure he was to be baptized, as he said, to fulfill all righteousness. Now, we don't know the full extent of what Jesus meant by this, but righteousness stems from having a right relationship with God. At a minimum, Jesus was responding to God's will in obedience to be baptized by John, who was, through his ministry, preparing the way for the Lord
by preaching a baptism of repentance. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't need to repent from any sin, so we question his insistence on being baptized. Perhaps we need to stop questioning and accept that Jesus was following God's will. And as a result, Jesus initiated baptism as the beginning of a covenant relationship with him, where we commit to following God's will and ways in his name and his likeness. So after John the Baptist was convinced, he welcomed Jesus into the Jordan River and baptized him, not as an act of representing Jesus' repentance from sin, but as an act of obedience to follow God's will. And then Matthew described, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Friends, it is not what brings us to the water of baptism that is the most important for us to remember about our baptism, just as it wasn't for Jesus. What we need to hold on to is what happens after the water. So just like Jesus, who approached the water as Jesus of Nazareth and left the water as Jesus, Son of God, we have a new identity as beloved children of God. When we pass through the waters of baptism, we are no longer identified as a son or daughter of this world. Rather, we are always and forever son or daughter of the living God, citizens of the kingdom of God. This is the truth of baptism. But we have to take ownership of our new identity in Christ to truly live a baptized life. We can't just hang out in the water of baptism. We have to come out to live a new life that we have been given. So when Jesus came out of the water, he accepted his identity as Son of God, and he also received the Holy Spirit that God alighted on him at his baptism. Now, the Holy Spirit was always with Jesus. But here, the Spirit is given as a means to set apart Jesus, the Son of God, with divine purpose and power. Now, at our baptisms, we trust that the Holy Spirit is given to us to set us apart for divine purpose, to walk with Jesus in mission and ministry. As baptized believers, we are given the inspiration and the power of the Spirit. Now again, just like our new identity, we have to take ownership of the gift of the Spirit. We must receive the Spirit and relate with the Spirit of God that is within us. Inspiration and power only come through active cooperation, intentional invitation of the Spirit's interceding, patient listening, as well as responding to what we hear and are guided to do. Now, discerning the voice of the Spirit and trusting what we hear as being of the Spirit can always be tested against Jesus' baptized life and also the response of his disciples who follow the Spirit's leading. Now, in our passage from Acts, Peter was actively following the Spirit's lead, which took him to Caesarea, to the home of a Gentile named Cornelius, who had been praying to the God of the Jews and had a vision telling him to send for Simon Peter specifically. He didn't know Simon Peter. Understand that Peter, who was now a Jesus follower, would not have entered a Gentile's house as a devout Jew, as that would mean that he would become unclean according to the Jewish laws, because the Gentile practices were considered unclean. However, prior to receiving Cornelius' request to come to his home, Peter had a vision of his own from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, which God declared, Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Then when Cornelius' messengers knocked on the door to invite Peter to come, we are told, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So inspired and empowered by the Spirit, Peter went to Cornelius' house to see what the Lord required of him. And Cornelius simply asked Peter to tell him and his household whatever it was that God wanted him to share. In that moment, that's when Peter understood his vision, inspired by the Spirit, and declared, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. For Peter, the Jew, the biggest hurdle for him regarding the reach of Christ was his deep-rooted belief that all non-Jews were unworthy or outsiders to God's plan of redemption. However, Peter, through faith in Christ Jesus and the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit, accepted Cornelius and his household as included in God's work of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, as we know, there are many hurdles that we have ourselves that we face regarding who we deem may be worthy of being a Christian. However, as we respond to the Spirit as in a baptized life, we become accepting of all people. For God's reach in the love of Christ has no limits. That's all we need to know, so we shouldn't allow anything to blur our vision here at Faith Community to be a safe space for exploring faith and building community with all of our neighbors. When we capture the vision that all people are loved by God and we are to respond in kind as followers of Jesus, then the walls we have constructed dividing us start to come down. But even with the walls starting to come down, we have to be intentional about reaching out to those who used to be behind the walls that we built. Peter reminds us of the truth about Jesus' coming into the world and into our lives, saying, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You see, peace on the outside begins with peace on the inside. When we don't have peace in our hearts, that is when we create disruption in the lives of those around us. In Christ, baptized by water and the Spirit, we are becoming peacemakers. As we are intentional about asking the Spirit to help us when we feel unpeaceful regarding other people, the Spirit will help us navigate the source of our pain, exposed unhealed wounds, and guide us towards healing. Because Jesus is our peace. Meaning we must turn to Him and ask for healing and understanding. And as we heal, we are able to accept others more freely and actively work towards a right relationship that is based on love and nothing else. This is how we become peacemakers. Jesus, as our greatest example of reaching out to everyone in peace with love as his motivation. Peter watched Jesus interact with people. And he also noticed that Jesus didn't only approach people peacefully. He paid attention to their wellness. Peter recalled how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. See, Peter recognized from the time of Jesus' baptism and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that Jesus' awareness of and action toward others was undeniable. And if we just leaf through the Gospels, we can see how often Jesus stopped what he was doing. Or he delayed his journey from one place to another to help someone. Sometimes people would be brought to him, but often Jesus would go to them when he saw them in their need. And he addressed them. Our baptized life is to align with Jesus' baptized life. Through the Holy Spirit, our hearts and our minds are being transformed as we cooperate with the Spirit to be like Christ. We can resist the Spirit, or we can invite the Spirit to open our eyes and our hearts to see the world like Jesus. And this likeness of Jesus in us is evident as we extend compassion and mercy to others. See, as we grow in Christ, this is just who we become and how we respond to people in our lives and in our communities. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he shared that the kingdom of God was near and declared what the kingdom was like. By the end of his ministry on earth, he revealed his identity with his disciples and what he offered the world. When Peter spoke to Cornelius, responding to his request to share what God wanted him to hear, Peter included this regarding Jesus, saying, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." See, Jesus counts on his disciples to continue his mission. This request isn't supposed to be a burden, but rather a privilege to declare what we have experienced through meeting Jesus Christ and being baptized in his name. Jesus is not a secret to be kept. He frees all who believe in him from the burden and penalty of sin. And through the Spirit, Jesus transforms our ways into his ways to live well within his reign. So like Peter, we are to respond when we are asked from others, "What does God want me to know?" That's when we uphold our baptismal vow and we share the good news of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We don't have to provide a foolproof apologetic about Jesus. We just need to be willing to share our story. Now, it is worth thinking about our experience to be more comfortable with articulating our thoughts when we are asked. I just encourage, keep it simple. Keep it simple and don't feel like you need to have answers to any questions that someone may ask. Just be honest and let them know that you are still figuring things out as you continue to walk with Jesus. See, friends, let's move beyond the physical experience of baptism to live a baptized life that is characterized by our new identity as beloved children, children of God. Inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit that is given, becoming accepting of all people, becoming peacemakers, and extending compassion and mercy, all the while sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we are forgiven. Jesus is our peace. Baptism is the beginning of a transformed life worth living. So go and live a baptized life. Amen.
If you would please stand and sing with me hymn number 611, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise.
6:11.
Children of God, grow to know God more than all. Find love and joy and peace and share it with the world. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.